Parshas Mishpatim. While the Yidden were still at Har Sinai, after having received the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibreis from Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu continued to teach the Yidden more and more mitzvahs of the Torah. That is what Parshas Mishpatim is all about. Mishpatim are those mitzvahs which teach us how to deal with one Yid with another Yid. If there is ever something that happens between one Yid and another, either the person has caused some damage, or has hurt him, or did something wrong, Parshas Mishpatim tells us how one is supposed to deal with another Yid. Later on, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah is going to go back to the story of Matan Torah and tell us more things that happened before Hashem gave the Yidden the Torah. The first mitzvah that the Torah tells us about in Mishpatim is the mitzvah about Eved Ivri, a Yiddish slave. What kind of Yiddish slave is this? Well, Kindalach, this is a Yid who had stolen something from another Yid. Now, in order for a Yid to be forgiven for the sin, the first thing is that he has to return the stolen object back to its owner. And after the owner forgives him, then he may ask Hashem to forgive him too for his sin. But Kindalach, what if the man does not have the object anymore to pay back? Or, even if he does have the object, Kindalach, the Torah tells us that a thief, a ganav, has to pay back double. That is, if he stole $100, he has to pay back $200. If he stole $1,000, then he has to pay back $2,000. What if the man does not have that amount of money? What should he do then? Well, Kindalach, that is the first mitzvah in Mishpatim, the mitzvah of Eved Ivri. The Yiddish court, the Beis Din, would sell this thief to another Yid as a slave. Over there, he would have to work for many days, or weeks, or months, or even years, until he gets enough money to pay back to the owner of the object which he had stolen. Now, Kindalach, the Torah teaches us that we are supposed to treat this slave in a very good way. Yes, Kindalach, since all the Yidden were freed from Mitzrayim in order to become Hashem's servants, therefore, a Yid, who is Hashem's servant, must be treated in a very good way. The Torah also teaches us that therefore we are not allowed to sell him to a Goy, but only to a Yid, or to a Ger. Also, when we sell the slave, it's supposed to be done in a very respectful way, not the way Goyim sell slaves, when they take the slave to the marketplace and stand him up on a large rack. And they show everyone, "Look at the slave that I have for sale! Who wants to buy him?" Kindalach, you can just imagine what the slave feels like at that moment. When we sell a Yid as a slave, we have to do it in a very respectful way as not to hurt his feelings at all. This shows us, Kindalach, how careful we must be when we deal with any Yid. If this is so, when we are selling a thief, a ganav, as a slave, how much more so is it when we are dealing with another Yid and we have to be so careful as never to hurt his feelings? Yes, Kindalach, this is what the Torah teaches us about a Yiddish slave, that we have to treat him in the best way. For example, We are not allowed to give him jobs to do, which are very lowly jobs, such as washing his master's feet or putting on his master's shoes. Even if the same jobs a son would like to do for his father or a student for his teacher, but we are not allowed to ask a slave to do so. Also, Kinalach, the master of this slave must share with his slave whatever food he has. If the master eats white, delicious bread, he has to give the same kind of bread to the slave. If he drinks wine, he may not give his slave water to drink, he has to give him wine. If the master sleeps on a good bed, he may not let his slave sleep on the floor. And you know what, Kinderlach? What if the master had only one good loaf of bread, or one cup of good wine? Who should it go to? To the master himself, or to his slave? That's right, he must give it to his slave. If there is only one pillow, the master must give it to his slave and sleep on the ground himself. Also, Kinalach, the Torah teaches us that if the slave used to work in a certain kind of job that he had before he was sold as a slave, then the master is only allowed to give him to do that kind of work and no other work at all. And do you know, Kinalach, that even if he was sold in order to get a lot of money that he has to pay back, and he has to work for many, many years, the Torah says that he's only allowed to work for 6 years from the date that he was sold. They count 6 years, and after that, he automatically goes free. Even if during the 6 years, the slave became sick and could not work for a very long time, the master still has to let him free after the 6 years are up. Also, Kinderlach, if when the slave was sold, he was a married man with children, then the master not only has to give him food, but also has to feed the wife of this slave and his children too. Now, Kinderlach, what happens if the slave does not want to leave after 6 years? He says to his master, "I love it here. It's so good. I want to stay on." Well, then, Kinderlach, his master must bring him to the Beis Din. If in front of the judges, the slave again says that he does not want to leave the house of the master, then the master brings the slave to the door of his house or someone else's house. And over there, the slave must stand next to the door while his master is going to drill a hole through his right ear. Yes, that's right. Right through his right ear. This is supposed to be as a sign that he's going to remain a slave until the beginning of the next Yovel year. That is, every 50th year is called Yovel year. And only then will he go free. Now, Kinderlach, what is the reason why this is done right near a door and not somewhere else? What does the door remind us of? Well, Hashem says, during Makas Bechayros, the Yid in Mitzrayim placed blood on three parts of their door, on the doorposts and the lintel. I saved the Yidden in the schus of that mitzvah in order that they should live to become my servants. That's why a Yid who still wants to become a slave to another person and not just to remain my slave, this should be done right before a doorpost in order to remind him that he is my slave. Also, in order that the people passing by the street, will notice him, and they'll say to him, "Why do you wish to be a slave if the Torah law says that you're free?" And do you know, Kinderlach? This is almost the same reason why it's the ear that the master drills a hole through. Hashem says, It is the ear that heard at Har Sinai, Loi Signai, you shall not steal. And yet, this thief ignored that mitzvah and stole. Yes, Kindalach, this is what happens to a slave who wants to stay on for more than 6 years. But you can understand, Kindalach, you can well imagine why he wants to stay on, because he is treated so nicely by his master. This is also a lesson for us, Kindalach, how Hashem takes such good care of us, because we are his servants. If Hashem tells us to take very good care of our slaves, how much more so does Hashem take care of us? That's right, we are supposed to have the strongest bitachin in Hashem, the strong trust that Hashem will surely give us everything we need. A nice house, and good food, and good clothing, and health, nachas, and all good things that we need in order to be able to continue to serve Hashem with a healthy body and a happy heart. Now, Kindalach, after the Torah told us about a Yiddish slave, the Torah is going to tell us about a Yiddish maid. Yes, a girl who was sold as a maid. Why should a girl be sold as a maid? Well, Kindalach, this can happen if Chas v'Shalom, her father is so poor, and he has no money at all, no one to help him, and he has nothing in the house to sell, then he would sell his daughter as a maid to another Yid. Now, when she is sold, it doesn't mean that she is sold forever. She is sold only for a short time, until the father gets enough money to take care of his family. During this time, Kindalach, she is treated in a very good way. She is given the best food and the very comfortable bed and nice clothing. She is treated as if she is one of the family. And what kind of work does she have to do there? Not slave work, of course. She does the kind of work as a mother's helper. She helps doing homework with the children, or taking care of the baby, or sometimes sweeping up a floor, or other kind of work that a mother needs some help. How long will she stay there? Well, Kindalach, as soon as she turns 12, and she became a big girl, she is freed. Or, what if her master dies? Then she goes out free. Or, if 6 years have passed, or the Yovel year comes, she is then freed to go back home to her family. And now, Kindalach, the Torah is going to tell us about other mishpatim, other laws. The first one is about a person who killed someone else by mistake. He did not hate the person. He didn't want to harm the person. He killed him by mistake. Then he must run and escape. Run for his life, and go to one of the Arei Miklat. These are special cities in Eretz Yisrael, which is supposed to protect a person who killed someone by mistake. This will be explained more in Chumash Bamidbar in Parshas Mas'ei. And what's about someone who killed someone on purpose? Well, Kindalach, if there were two witnesses who have been there and watched this, and they warned him that the Torah says that he's not allowed to kill someone, then the Beis Din would take the witnesses and ask them many, many questions to find out if the witnesses are really telling the truth. And if the judges see that the witnesses are saying the truth, that this man killed someone on purpose after being warned, you know what the Beis Din would do to this man? The Beis Din would put him to death. Yes, Kindalach, as I told you before, Mishpatim tells us all about the different dinim that deals between one man and another man. Now the Torah is going to tell us about the respect that a child is supposed to have for his parents. as we have learned in the Aseres HaDibrois, Kaved es avicha ve'es imecha. One is supposed to honor his parents. Here the Torah tells us, what if a boy or a girl did not honor his parents? And not only that, he even did worse than that. What if he hurt his parents, causing them to bleed? Chas v'shalom. Then, if this child was already bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, and there were two witnesses who warned him, the Beis Din would put him to death. Yes, Kindalach, this is the greatest sin, that the child should harm and hurt his parents, who have done so much to him, so many good things. First of all, they brought him into this world, and they took care of him since he was a baby. They dressed him and fed him. Then he should do something like that? That's why the Torah tells us that we're supposed to be so respectful to our parents and honor them at all times, even when it seems sometimes a little difficult. And that's what the Torah tells us next. That a boy or a girl is supposed to be very careful in how they speak to their parents, and how we're not allowed to ever, ever say a bad word to them, and of course not to curse them. And we know, Kinalach, what is the great reward that Hashem gives us for honoring our parents? Lema'an ya'arichun yomecha. Hashem will give us long and happy life, both on this world and on the world to come. Now, Kinalach, the Torah is going to tell us, what if one yid hurts another yid? Chas v'shalom. Then he is supposed to pay for it. If he hurt him on any part of his body, he has to pay him for that damage. There are also other things that he may have to pay for. He has to pay for the pain, the doctor bills. Also, if he hurt him so badly that the man couldn't go to work, he has to pay the man for all the money that he lost for not going to work. And then also, for hurting his feelings and embarrassing him, he has to pay him too. Yes, Kindalach, we are supposed to be so careful never to hurt another yid. Not only because we'll have to pay money for it, but because we're not allowed to fight. A yid is never allowed to raise a hand on another yid. As you remember, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Dasan and Aviram, one of them lifting up his hand to the other, ready to hit him, Moshe called out and said, Rasha, why do you hit your friend? Even though the man didn't hit him yet, he called him Rasha. Because by only lifting up a hand to hit another yid, one is called a Rasha. That's right, Kindalach. We're never allowed to hit another yid. Even if the other one started, first, we are not allowed to hit back either. It's called nekama, revenge. What then, Kindalach, are we supposed to do if another yid hits us? We're supposed to run away. That's all. As we learned in Chumash Brachos about Yitzchak Avinu, when he was digging up different wells that really belonged to him, but the shepherds came and began fighting with him. So all he did was, he walked away and looked for another place to get another well. Even though those wells belonged to him too, but he wanted to stay away from fights. We too, Kindalach, we're supposed to stay away from fights as much as possible. In fact, if we think about it, that Hashem is inside every single yid, because every yid has a neshama, which is part of Hashem, by hitting another yid, we are chas v'shalom hitting Hashem. Yes, it's as if we are hurting Hashem just as we are hurting another yid. And it doesn't even make sense to hurt another yid, because all the yidden are like one. If you hit another yid, it's like you're hitting yourself. As our chachamim tell us, it's like all the yidden are one big person, one big body. And you know, Kindalach, what if you are writing a letter, and by mistake, you moved your hand in the wrong way, and did not write it nice. Would your left hand hit your right hand for doing that? Or what if you were walking down the steps, and your right foot tripped, and you fell down two steps? What are you going to do then? Are you going to hit your right foot for doing that? Even though it was your right foot's fault, he made you fall, but are you going to hit him? No, you're going to say, well, it's bad enough that I fell down. Should I give another patch too? The same thing we should think when another yid hits us, chas v'shalom. Instead of taking the kama and hitting back, we should think to ourselves, well, it's bad enough one yid did an avera of hitting. Should I also do an avera of hitting? And if I hit him back, it's like I'm hitting myself, because he's part of me. All the yidden are like one. And you know, Kindalach, as we say in our tefillos, Barchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad. Hashem benches us when we are all like one. Just as we have learned in Parshas Yisrei, that before Matan Torah, Hashem waited until all the Yidden were like one, like we learned in the Pasuk, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, that all the Yidden rested in front of the mountain Har Sinai, Ke'ish Echad Belev Echad, like one man with one heart. And it was then that Hashem said, since I see that they are living with peace, I shall give them my Torah, which is the Torah of peace. And the same thing, Kindalach, for any other brachas that we want to get from Hashem, especially the most important bracha that we are waiting for, the coming of Mashiach, and the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash speedily in our days. What can we do to hurry this up? By having more and more Ahavas Yisrael. Yes, to love every single Yid, and never want to do any harm to anyone. As our Chachamim teach us, that which you do not want to be done to yourself, don't do it to somebody else. Yes, before you do something to somebody, think, do I want it to be done to myself? And if the answer is no, then don't do it to another Yid. And do you know, Kindalach? This also means that when we play, we should play nicely, not shout at each other. Even when you think that the other person cheated you or did something wrong, it gives no excuse for screaming, shouting, or fighting. Playing together should only bring happiness and fun. If the game does not bring happiness and fun, so then why are you playing the game? We should also remember, Kindalach, that all of our games should be also in a nice Yiddish way. Never to play games such as make-believe fighting, play fighting, or playing killing, or playing such games as robbers, and so on, even though it's only a game. But, Kindalach, that's not a Yiddish practice. As our Chachamim teach us, Bechol derachecha do'eho, you should know Hashem in all of your ways, and kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim, everything that you do should be for Hashem. When we think about this while we're playing, we'll always play Yiddish games and nice games only. And if this is the way we act during playing games, this will become our habit, and we'll always be nice and gentle with each other. We'll never fight, we'll never hurt another Yid, and we'll never damage someone else's property. In fact, Kindalach, that is the next thing the Torah tells us about. After the Torah tells us how we're supposed to be careful of not hurting another Yid, the Torah tells us how Hashem explained to Moshe many other dinim of being careful not to harm another person, even from your belongings. That means not to put something in the way that can trip someone, or not to use something that can harm another person, or to disturb another person. For example, if your brother is doing homework and you want to turn on the music, your brother asks you, please, turn off the music. I'm trying to concentrate on my homework. And of course, you right away help your brother by turning off the music or going to another room, because you don't want that your enjoyment should do any harm or disturb anyone else. That's right. This is the way to make more shalom, more peace in your house, and then deserve Hashem's special bracha for all good things. Now, further on in our parsha, the Torah tells us how careful a yid must be of never, ever stealing. That is, never to take something that does not belong to you. Not even to use something that belongs to your friend. Even if you're taking it just for a few minutes, we are not allowed to do that. Using someone else's things without permission is just like stealing. Even if the thing is worth just one penny, or even less, we are not supposed to take it or even use it. And this does not make any difference whether it's from a yid or lahavdil a goy. We're never, ever allowed to steal. If a person had ever taken something without permission, that is an avera for which he must do teshuva, that Hashem should forgive him. And the first step of doing teshuva is, that's right, to return the stolen thing back to the owner. We must return it first before we can ask Hashem for forgiveness. And do you know, Kindalach, there is a certain kind of stealing that doesn't have to be by taking away someone's property, but sometimes by saying something or doing something by which we can fool someone else, that's also gneva. That is called gnevas da'as, tricking someone or fooling someone. For example, while you're davening, you are very careful to say every single word. Even though the Yetzer Hara might come and say, it is enough if you just move your lips and make believe you're davening. Your Rebbe won't know the difference. Your Tati will not see how you're not davening. He sees your lips are moving. But of course, we don't listen to that Yetzer Hara. We don't want to trick anyone. Besides, we can never fool Hashem. Hashem knows the truth. Hashem knows what we are doing. He knows what we are thinking. Yes, we have to be so careful never to try to fool or trick anyone. Be honest, and people will trust you. And now, Kindalach, the Torah tells us another mitzvah, that when the Yidden will come into Eretz Yisrael, they may find over there that some of the goyim are magicians. And we know that magic is something which is against the Torah. And the Beis Din, the Yiddish judges, have a mitzvah to get rid of all of these magicians. That's why the Rambam tells us that a Yid is supposed to be very careful not to do any kind of magic, even magic tricks. And now, Kindalach, the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of being very careful not to hurt any time a almana or a yosaim, that is, a woman who lost her husband or a child who has no father. We have to be extra careful about them. Hashem says, if a woman is suffering from something, she could complain to her husband. If a child is suffering from something, he can call his father to help. But an almana, a widow who has no husband, or an orphan, a yosaim, who has no father, they have no one to call to. So who do they call to? To Hashem. And Hashem says, I will listen to every cry of these yosaimim and almanais. And Hashem takes extra care for them. And that's why we have to be extra careful never to hurt their feelings and never to do anything bad to them, even more careful than we are with any other yid. And the same thing, Kindalach, is about a ger, that is, a goy who became a yid. Also, never to hurt his feelings, never to say something which will remind him about the days when he was a goy, and that now he became a yid, but treat him the nicest way to make him feel as comfortable as only possible. Now, Kindalach, the Torah tells us about a very important mitzvah. That is, the mitzvah of Gemilus Chasadim. Gemilus Chasadim means to perform and do kindness. Kindness to everyone. The Torah over here is talking especially about someone who needs to borrow something from you. Whether he needs to borrow money or something that you have that he needs badly. When you lend it to him, that's called Gemilus Chasadim. You're letting him use something that he needs very much. And as our Chachamim say, Gemilus Chasadim, in a way, is even greater than Tzedakah. Because Tzedakah is only for poor people, while Gemilus Chasadim is for everyone. Whoever needs help, you are always there and ready to help. And do you know, Kindalach? Not only with money or things can you help someone. Sometimes with some good advice. You give the person some good advice what to do. Or you help someone with homework. You help your brother or your sister who needs help in carrying something. And of course your mother or your father to help them when they need help. That is all Gemilus Chasadim. Also, when you see someone in the morning, you say good morning. You give a smile. In the afternoon or in the evening, you also wish them something nice. Smiling to another Yid is a very great way of doing Gemilus Chasadim. And do you know, by smiling to one Yid, he smiles back. It makes him feel so good. It makes him feel that you like him and you're proud of him, and that's why you're smiling. And smiling does not cost you any money, just a move of your lips. Try it, you will like it. And so will every Yid like it too, whoever sees you smile. And people say that smiling is contagious. It's very catchy. So once you start smiling, it's going to spread to many other people too, who will smile back to you. Now, Kindalach, we must be very careful that when you lend someone money, the Torah tells us that when he pays you back, he's not allowed to pay you with ribis. What is ribis? That is, that he should not pay you back more than how much he borrowed from you. If he borrowed from you $1, he is not allowed to pay you back more than $1, not even one penny more. Yes, that's the mitzvah of Gemilus Chasadim. To lend someone money for free. That is, to only expect to get back that much money how much you lent him, but not a penny more. And do you know, Kindalach? If you know that your friend does not have the money yet to pay back, do not ask him for it. Because it will only make him feel bad. Yes, this is another part of the mitzvah of Gemilus Chasadim. That is, when it comes time to pay back, you do it in a way to make him feel as comfortable as at all possible. And now, Kindalach, we come to another very important din. That is, about eating kosher meat. The Torah tells us that the Yidden are Anshei Kodesh. We are a holy people, and therefore should only eat kosher food. If a person finds an animal that was killed out in the field or anywhere, he may not eat from that meat. That meat is called trefa. Instead, we should throw it to the dog. Let the dog enjoy that meat. Why to the dog? Well, our Chachamim tell us that this was a reward. Because when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, Lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai, no dog would grind his teeth, which means they did not bark or disturb the Yidden at all. And because of that, they were rewarded that whenever a person has trefa meat, the Torah says, La kelev tashlichon isay, throw it to the dog, let him enjoy it. But a Yid must be very careful never to eat anything of that kind of meat. And not only the meat itself, but even if this meat was mixed in into another kind of food. Many times we go to the store to buy food. We must be extra careful to check every part of the ingredients to make sure that nothing was put in that comes from a trefa animal. That's why you should always check with your rav to make sure that the hechsher, the supervision mark, on the product that you're buying should be 100% kosher, without any questions and any doubts. And as our chachamim tell us, Kindalach, that when a person eats kosher and 100% kosher, this also makes sure that his neshama is 100% healthy, and his body, too, is 100% healthy and strong. This also affects our midos, that we should have good midos, act nicely, behave well. This all has to do with the kind of food we eat. As our chachamim teach us, you are what you eat. If you eat kosher food, halakha food, then you become halak yourself. You become, as the Torah says, Anshei Kodesh, a holy people. And now, Kindalach, we're going to learn another din, and that is a din of Ahavas Yisrael. The Torah tells us, if you were walking along the road, and you saw your friend with his donkey, and the donkey was loaded with a very heavy load, then you suddenly notice that the donkey is suffering, and the heavy load is pulling down the donkey, and soon everything is going to fall off. What are you supposed to do? Of course, you guessed right, go over and help. Help to take down the things and put it back up nicely and neatly in a way that the donkey should feel comfortable and be able to continue carrying it. The Torah tells us this is not only to be done when he is your friend, but even if he is your enemy. Yes. Even if it's someone who you don't like, you're not his friend, you hate him, you should be doing it for him too. Why? That's right. That's only in order to teach your Yetzirah a lesson that you're never to hate a Jew. We're supposed to treat every Yid nicely, even someone who you think you're supposed to hate him for something that he did to you. The Torah says, help him. He needs help. Go over and help him. And of course, Kindalach, in these days that we don't see donkeys with packages, we understand what it means. We know how to do this mitzvah today. That is, whenever you see any yid who needs help, go over and help him in any way you can, even if he is someone who you don't like, because that will break the Yetzirah and get rid of those bad midos. Instead, we will have good midos to help a Jew at all times. And the Torah tells us a very important mitzvah. Midevar sheker tirchak. Keep far from a lie. Yes, Kindalach, this is a mitzvah which is given to every Yid. It warns him to be careful and stay away from any kind of lie or anything which is not honest. Chaysamai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Hashem's seal is truth. Yes, Kindalach. Just like when a person seals a letter, he seals it with his initials. Hashem sealed the Torah with his initials too. The first three words of Torah, Bereshis bara Elokim. The end of the word Bereshis is a Saf. At the end of bara, there is an Aleph. At the end of Elokim, there is a Mem. That is, Taf, Aleph, Mem. What word do we get from these three letters? That's right, Emes. That is, Hashem's seal in the Torah. That is emes. And Hashem wants us to be emes, truthful and honest. Kindalach, as we know the famous saying, the biggest punishment for a liar is that even when he's telling the truth, we do not believe him either. That's right, Kindalach. We are supposed to be so careful. This is one of the most important mitzvahs, being honest. Even if we did something wrong, and we are afraid to admit it, we should know that it's only the Yetzirah who is not letting us admit it. By not telling the truth, the Avera, the sin gets even bigger. But if we admit it, that is the first step to Teshuvah. And you know, Kindalach, being honest or lying is a habit. And if we make it our habit to always tell the truth, we will see that we will get along with people better, we'll have more friends, people will be able to trust you, people will be able to lend you things. And the most important thing is that when you say something, people will believe you and know that what you're saying is true. For if a person tells lies, then even when he's telling the truth, no one will believe him. And you know, Kindalach, this reminds us of a story that happened with a boy who was a shepherd. He used to work very, very hard for a farmer. The farmer used to give him the sheep, and he used to take the sheep and walk around in different fields and different places with it. One day, as the shepherd was grazing along the fields with his sheep, he got very bored. He thought to himself, "Oh, look, I'm all alone here. No one is with me. Oh, I'm getting so bored. Every day the same thing. I like to have some fun. You know what I'm going to do? I know how I'm going to get some fun. I'm going to get all the people of the town to come out and see me. I'm going to do that. Well, watch this." The boy got up, and on the top of his voice, he called out, "A wolf is coming! A wolf is coming to eat up the sheep! Help! Help! People of the town, please help!" It didn't take long, Kindalach, and all the people in the town who heard his cries ran out of their stores, ran out of their houses, and took big bats and sticks and stones with them. And they ran to the place where the boy is, looking for the wolf. They want to beat up the wolf and hit it with the sticks and the rocks in order that the wolf shouldn't come back again.